What up, Long Beach? Welcome back to the one and only Sports Night here at GazetteSports.com. It's JJ.
And Mike.
And Tyler.
And I have to share a vision that I had earlier this week. I live in an old apartment, so it's got those crank windows, you know, old school swing out wide. And so I had this vision where I would wake up one morning and I'd crank that window open and I'd poke my head outside and a small lad would be walking down the alleyway behind my apartment and I'd say, "Lad, what week is this?"
And he'd say,
and he'd look up and he'd say,
"Why, it's ship week, sir."
By George, I haven't missed it. It is indeed ship week. CIF, Pac-5 football, Poly, modern day, Anaheim, Angel Stadium,
JJ,
Saturday night. We are fired up,
JJ,
and you'll know why after this show.
JJ came over to my house to tell me that news as though he were informing me that he just won the $650 million Powerball.
I mean, it was a moment.
In many ways, the football community has collectively won that Powerball. This is the dream matchup.
It is the dream matchup.
We'll be talking about everything from the ghosts of championship past to what the championship present is going to look like matchup-wise, and then the ghosts of championship future, potentially, as we're going to talk about in the third segment, what could happen if Poly wins that game and whether or not they'll be eligible for a state bowl game.
We've been giving you all this Long Beach football coverage all year long. The payoff is Saturday night, but we could not bring you that coverage, this coverage, and, like Mike said, the future coverage without our fine list of sponsors.
I don't know why you wouldn't go to GazetteSports.com right now. Click on the 50% off lunch meal coupon and go get yourself some ribs on the cheap, courtesy of GazetteSports.com. After you're done with that, maybe you spent all your money on ribs and you need to apologize to your significant other. Go to McCarty's Jewelry, just down the street on 2nd, here for you since 1932.
Also, Los Alamitos Cardiovascular, they've been celebrating 31 years for quite some time. Also, the Sleep Center is now open at Friedman's, so when you get all tired from watching that championship football game, go take that nap, and then Care Jones, State Farm agent, he cares about you. We will forgive him for putting so much red on the website.
The Care Bear.
Click on the contact button at the top of the page to get you or your business listed on that exclusive list. Obviously, there are a bunch of ways to get involved with GazetteSports.com and this show, Sports Night, that comes to you each and every week. We bring you three topics from Long Beach sports, but of course those three topics are all wrapped up in the pigskin that's going to go down on Saturday night. With no further gilding the lily, let's get down to it. The green versus the red, Merry Christmas, the history of this rivalry. We could literally talk for hours about it, because not only do these two teams play classic matchups in the postseason, but they also couldn't be further apart in what type of schools they are.
And quickly let me say, I know this is a great rivalry, not just because I witnessed it firsthand, but I read about it in a book, Mike's book. Be sure to go buy it, because that will give you some great looks behind the scenes history of this rivalry, because it was a big part of the Poly chapter, obviously.
Yeah, and that book now available at the Historical Society of Long Beach. Just got it in there this week. Very excited about that. Hoping to do a signing coming soon. But if you're looking for a little taste, the Poly Modern Day Rivalry History article that we've got up on the website right now features some sample quotes and some cool stories from the book. Before we get right into it, JJ mentioned the green versus the red. That could happen. This is such a good rivalry that Bruce Rollinson and Raul Lara, kind of a handshake agreement to do Poly's aways, or Poly's homes versus Modern Day's homes. Now, there may be a change to that because of a green tape shortage, which I think perfectly highlights the difference between these two schools.
Agreed.
If it's me, so
agreed. Don't you just go to black though? Isn't black your like your fallback?
We'll see, man. I mean, they've got a pretty good record in the all whites. You know, there's many different considerations.
Ooh, but it could be muddy out there.
Exactly.
It's real tough.
Exactly?
Yeah.
So it really could just turn
gritty
into the all Browns?
Gritty.
Oh my, the Long Beach Browns. Yeah. The Long Beach Browns out there.
The differences between those schools were really on display in 1997, 98, and 99, also at Anaheim Stadium, where we'll be on Saturday. These two teams, this is unprecedented in anywhere really in the state of California, certainly in the Pac-5 Division I, these two teams met three consecutive times for the Division I championship. Just an unbelievable rivalry born out of that, with Poly pulling off a huge upset in the first one, Modern Day pulling off a huge upset in the second one, and then them tying in the rubber game.
It can't get
in 1999
any closer than that. It's a rubber game. They knew going in, it was like, this is going to decide it.
Yeah.
Once and for all, this little stretch, who
and
is
the rest
of the
season
king of the
kind
kings
of felt a little bit pointless.
Right, because he knew they were going to end up there. Yeah.
Because Pauly broke a 27-game winning streak for Mater Dei when they beat them. Uh-huh. And then Mater Dei broke a 27 winning game streak for Pauly when they beat them.
Right.
So they go into this championship game. They're really, you know, it really is just like if you're looking at the world of tennis when there's two great guys, where it's just kind of like you're just waiting for the championship every year. And sure enough, it comes out a tie. Not everyone there, Jerry Jaso had been a part of the Pauly coach had been a part of a tie against Edison a decade prior. But everyone didn't really seem that aware that it was going to be a tie, because after the game, they kind of all just standing around looking at each other. Bruce Rawlinson told me, you know, it was kind of like, why don't we just go out in the parking lot and finish thing like right now? You know, if they're not going to let us do it legally, let's just go hit the asphalt.
Not fighting, but like literally drawing the plays in the dirt.
Yeah, exactly. But I do. But when you talk to people who played in that game, you get the sense that they would rather have fought to decide it than to accept the tie. It's certainly a tie that neither team really felt like they won a championship.
It wasn't. Yeah, it was the ultimate kissing your sister and any other combination of things you wouldn't want to kiss.
But arguably the two greatest single player performances in the history of the CIF championships by players in those games: Herman Ho Ching for Pauly, who was just superhuman in 1997, and then Matt Grootegood from Mater Dei in 1998 runs for what, it was like 230 yards and had 16 tackles. I mean, both those guys took those games over.
On both sides of the ball, specifically.
Yeah, and in a way that you just really don't ever see that in football. It's like we were marveling at John Juju Smith's performance against Bosco because he had 65 yards receiving and one interception. Well, Herman Ho Ching had, you know, five times that in terms of yardage, and was making half the tackles that the defense made. So pretty unbelievable stuff.
Obviously, in Mike's book, you can find the stories of those games, and in any, you know, history book, you can find that. But no one can tell you what the crowd was like unless you were there. You guys were there. What was it like, Pauly, versus Mater Dei, off the field?
Angry. It is a contentious rivalry, and I think there's a lot more respect between these programs than between, say, Pauly Mission Viejo. Mm-hmm. I think it's safe to say there really is a good deal of respect, and Raul Lara talked about this at walkthrough yesterday. He said, you know, we're not Pauly without Mater Dei, and they're not Mater Dei without Pauly. So there is that respect both ways, but that said, the fan bases are very different. And even if you look at Twitter, actually, we did a search for Pauly Mater Dei on Friday night after they realized they'd be in the championship. The most retweeted tweet for Mater Dei fans was, "Go Mater Dei, murder Pauly."
Oh my.
Retweeted about 100 times. And then the most retweeted tweet for Pauly is, "You got Long Beach on your back, you know, go get those guys."
Uh-huh. Well, and I think it's just, it was one of those situations where everything just got turned up a notch. It was loud, there was energy, like you said, it was angry, Mike. I was in elementary school going to these games, but it was, you know, because I loved, obviously, high school football. My dad and I would go to games all the time. But there was an extra sense of urgency and intensity in the air for those games specifically, partially because it was a championship game, but there was just something about those
schools. You were aware that it represented more than just a football game.
Yes,
you know, because it's a Pauly team with a budget of $5,000 against a modern-day team with a budget of close to $250,000.
It's the perfect rivalry in many ways. You know, it's Orange County versus LA County.
Absolutely.
It's
suburban versus urban.
You know, private versus public. It's rich versus public. Now it's Nike versus Adidas. You know, I mean, everything. It's, you know, Red Sox against Yankees, and Pauly's the Yankees, by the way. It's, you know, it's just phenomenal rivalry.
No one outspends people like the Pauly Jackrabbits.
And any, these aren't airtight. But let me just say, all of the, you know, the prep zone and all the extra, like, attention that gets to high school sports, all these other programs that have been built, they better pay their respects to Pauly Mater Dei.
Amen.
Because those games are what made high school football what they are today, in my opinion. This is the preeminent Southern California football rivalry, and this game means more than just to each of these schools. Just as a community, as a SoCal football community, this is the big game. All respect to USC and UCLA, this is the game in Southern California.
Well, there's going to be, you know, probably upwards of 20,000 people at Angel Stadium for this. It's going to be pretty cool. These two teams in the last 50 years have played 12 times. Zero of those times have been in the regular season. Mater Dei has a 6-5-1 advantage over Pauly in those 12 meetings, which obviously shows you just exactly how close this thing has been. If the Jackrabbits win, they'll have played 13 times, 4 times in the championship, and be exactly even against each other. But you're right that this game highlights so much more than football. I've told the story before on this show of being in Austin and having my taxi driver find out that I was from Long Beach and a sports writer and being excited because he was a huge Poly football fan. Not from Long Beach, never seen a game in person, but watched those games on TV, the Poly Modern Day games, read about them, felt like Poly represented what his life was about, and has been a big Poly fan since those. But it's the Poly Modern Day rivalry that's put these two teams on the national stage in the last 15 years.
Find us on the book. If you're active on Facebook, search for Long Beach Gazette Sports and be our friend.
Two teams separated by so much, they're so different, and their two seasons really couldn't be more different. The Modern Day Monarchs missing the playoffs last year for first time in a long time, and then this year coming back and charging home with an 11-2 record. They did not win the Trinity League, though, so another weird thing happening to the Monarchs, where for Poly, they have a historic loss and a tough non-conference schedule or non-league schedule, but then they get into the playoffs and they look like Poly again. So two very different roads coming here. Let's kind of break this game down.
It's worth noting, by the way, both of these coaches, who are among the most successful in the history of their school, both of them had their fan bases calling for their heads within the last year. Because Modern Day didn't make the playoffs last year, and everyone said, quote, the Rawlinson magic is gone, get this guy out of here. When Raul Lara's Poly Jackrabbit start the season 1-3, everyone's ready to run Raul Lara out of town, and right. Now suddenly they're in the championship. So Rawlinson commented on that at the media luncheon that we were at this week. It's kind of funny. That, you know, all this stuff has changed. Everyone wants these old-timers out, and yet here we are again.
And it's kind of good to see. You know, it shows that if you stick with a guy and support a guy as your head coach and build that program, things are cyclical. You know, it will come and go. But a good coach is a good coach. And if they won before, they are likely to win again, especially at the high school level. And both of these teams are back at it, and obviously they're going to be feisty in trying to prove which coach and which team is better. But, they've been down a little bit in the past couple years, have Poly and Modern Day, but how quickly they've turned that corner. And the Jackrabbits, within this season, they got to be the most improved team in the state, right? I mean,
right,
just
certainly.
Unbelievable turnaround.
So we wanted to talk a little bit about what you're going to actually see on the field now that you've got your primer on the history and everything. JJ's sort of done, he's been our advanced scout. JJ's been really digging deep into the Modern Day film, so he can certainly speak to the stuff they've got going on. On Poly's side of the ball, I think it's safe to say if they're going to try and run the ball. If they can run the ball successfully, that's going to be good for them.
That's been the recipe.
That's been the recipe. I mean, they've rushed for almost 1,000 yards in their 3 playoff games so far. So, kind of remarkable. They've been over 250 in every game and over 400 against Bishop Aumont in the first round. So, that's what Poly wants to do. And then, defensively, Poly's main concern about Modern Day is they run like a million different sets. So, talk a little bit about what you think the challenges are for the Jackrabbits with the Monarchs, JJ.
It's the same way on the other side of the ball, too. We'll get to that in just a second. But that Monarch defense, just so disciplined under defensive coordinator Johnson. And really, it's such a reflection of their program, you know? They do that, what's it called, when they all stand in a line and they all move their arms at the same way to the sound of the whistle?
I forget what
it's called.
I don't know.
But anyways, That's very much their program.
It's called slam dancing.
Their defense and like Mike said, they do show a lot, but they're kind of doing the same thing, much like they do on offense. The biggest issue in this game will be Poly's running attack, because that will set the tone. Because Modern Day's offense will do what Modern Day's offense does, but if Poly can run the ball, it that changes the game. So in that idea, that's the matchup where you're going to see the most wrinkles, is the Poly running a game going against a Modern Day defense. Because the Modern Day defense is not going to come out in their 3-4 set that they've come out all season in, much like St. John Bosco did in the semifinal, and then take the drives to adjust to that, and Poly's already up a touchdown. Modern Day won't wait that long. We talked to Raul Lara at practice the other day, and he said, I'm expecting at least a few wrinkles from Johnson and staff, because that's what they do in the playoffs. You make those small little wrinkles as you keep progressing.
Well, and they've got to do something. I mean, as you mentioned, Mike, Poly's rushed for, 1,000 yards in 3 games. I mean, you've got to do something to slow that down, because especially if it rains or whatever may be with the field conditions, I mean, Poly can control the game We talk about it all the time. If you run the ball and don't turn it over, you can control the game. So Modern Day has to come up with something in order to stop that poly rushing attack. And, you know, obviously it's the championship, so they're going to unload their bag of tricks defensively.
It's a lot easier to do so in this odd front. You can move a lot more guys around without changing responsibilities in the odd front like that. Raul Lara said he's not going to be surprised if he sees 10 in the box at some points on Saturday night.
No, I think it's safe to say, and I mean, you know, looking at the modern-day film, you see him in the odd front, you see him with the stack, you see him move multiple more guys into the box. I mean, they really do come at you in a lot of different ways. Tyler, you sort of mentioned the weather. I think that's obviously an interesting component of this game. The media consensus seems to be that rain favors the Jackrabbits, which I kind of think is false. You know, to me, the faster team never wants the turf to be slower, and certainly with
athletic team, at least.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, and if you've watched Poly's run game recently, obviously, if you say run game, you might think, well, they'd rather it be muddy and slow. But Poly's running game is not a 3 yards off tackle at a time, let's grind these chains out. I mean, there's a lot of people running around, a lot of big bodies flying around, and to me, if they don't have stable footing, you know, that to me hurts Poly more than it helps them.
Well, and it hurts the game because it'll just kind of muck everything up. And we love seeing those big highlight plays in those kind of games. And, you know, 5 yards at a time through the muck is not iconic. And it doesn't always make for the best highlight video.
It's
for yeah. Sure.
If you're in the stands this matchup, keep an eye on the modern day defense. If you're looking, you know, Poly offense versus modern day defense, keep an eye on the two safeties. In that odd front, Modern Day runs a two-deep look that they love to run the man under, which is tough for young quarterbacks to figure out. But those two safeties are both juniors, number 45, London Iacopo, and number 30, Johnny Johnson. So number 45 and number 30. Just check those two numbers while you're watching from the stands, because their distance from the line of scrimmage will tell you exactly what the Modern Day coaching staff is thinking.
Well, and especially the safeties, you know, that's the extra guy you bring up in run support. So if they want to bring
they've done that all year, too. Those guys move around, and they tell you. I mean, they'll move around so much that they'll go play a receiver on the outside sometimes, mm-hmm. and then they'll come up and line up off of fullback at linebacker depth. Those guys are all over the field.
Well, and Modern Day has been successful in, you know, taking the ball away. And I think Poly, you know, they almost lost against St. John Bosco specifically. That was in the semifinal, specifically because of their turnovers. And that's how Poly was able to control that Mission Viejo game, is because they did not turn the ball over.
Right.
So, you know, they're going to be playmakers in the secondary. And if Poly doesn't have to throw it, they're a lot less likely to turn the ball over. But, you know, it all depends on what Modern Day's defense is able to do up front, whether they want to move 10 into the box, like we talked about. It's just really, you know, both teams are thinking what they do will work,
yeah.
But you only know on Saturday who can adjust on the fly and make those little counters and adjustments to stop the other team.
I didn't go with you guys to the Narbonne game or any of the other non-conference games, but I would say that this Modern Day defense is the best overall defense, top to bottom, that Poly has seen this year. 45 turnovers, like Tyler just mentioned, that's going to be big. And they held the number one ranked in Pac-5, St. Bonaventure, 21-0 last week in the semifinal. You go to somebody else's house and you shut them down for a chance to go to the ship, that is tip of the cap type stuff.
Can we add the disclaimer that was in thick soup?
Oh, it was thick.
Don't want to take any you know,
but we're not
away from the modern
But we're
defense.
Not disclaiming the Poly win in the same thick soup.
Well, but that was also a low-scoring game in many ways because of the soup. Just wanted to add that in there because I think
Bonnie stopped running the ball,
which is an interesting decision.
It was
in soup.
Real interesting, and they've got one of the best running backs in the state. And they stopped running the ball, so I don't know what they were thinking.
JJ, I think I'd agree with you that Modern Day would certainly be the most disciplined defense they've seen. I think when you look at what Narbonne's done this year, they've certainly proven that on both sides of the ball, they're either number one or they're number two in the state, only to De La Salle. But
you would take the Modern Day schedule over the Narbonne schedule, though. Modern Day schedule a lot tougher than the Gauchos.
Would you say so?
I would say so.
Narbonne's had a pretty tough schedule.
Narbonne really got out there and played some teams this year. I don't know about that.
It's interesting. Obviously, it's tough, though, because they played Poly, which looks good now.
Right, yeah.
The Poly team
but
that
but
they
I,
played
but I,
was
I mean, I'll
maybe
give, not... I'll give them both credit for playing each other. And so yes. I would give, I guess, Narbonne a little bit of an edge because they beat Modern Day.
Well, and can I point out, an interesting scheduling crossover between these teams? So Modern Day's two losses were at Narbonne, and they were hosted St. John Bosco. They lost by 1 point at Narbonne. They hosted St. John Bosco and lost by 8. Long Beach Poly had their worst loss of the season at Narbonne, and then in their most recent game, their most impressive win was at home against Bosco. So there is sort of some crossover and some common opponents, and then obviously modern day first round of the playoffs played Lakewood, which is obviously Poly's rival in the Moore League.
Yeah.
So there is quite a bit of crossover between these teams, and you can compare them against similar opponents.
Yeah, definitely against similar opponents. It's much more difficult to do so now that you're in the championship and you've had those playoffs to get a little bit better. Like you said, Tyler, these are not the teams that started this season.
Certainly
not. What's your biggest concern if you're either coach right now? One single concern.
Well, this is perfect because this goes right into the modern day offense versus the Poly defense. We asked Raul Lara what his biggest concern was, and it was quarterback Chase Forrest on the run. Number 9, the junior, he's been brought along very slowly this year, only a handful of starts, but he is ripping it up in the playoffs. He's mobile, he throws well on the run, he takes deep drops, he's got a lot of time to throw with that big offensive line in front of him, and when he gets out of the pocket, man, buckle up, because anything could happen out there. He's really smart on the move as well as accurate.
For me, if I'm Raul Lara, my biggest concern is special teams. You know, I want something good because that really almost swung the game. If you look at the Bosco game, they had to put Gerard Wicks in there at punter. Looks like safety Matt Mattai might be taking kickoffs. They missed an extra point. They've struggled with extra points. They're 0-for-1 on field goals this year, the Poly Jackrabbits, which is not a situation they've found themselves in very often recently. So to me, I just want to make sure if I'm Poly that my offensive line is who's controlling the game, and it's not coming down to, oh, we're down by 2 with 5 seconds left, we have to kick a field goal.
I think my biggest fear for either team would be a slow start, to be honest, because I think that you got to respect the other team so much that if you have a bad turnover or let the opening kickoff get returned for a touchdown or something, the problem might be, you know, with those offenses, they might just control the ball and then if Poly, in turn, gives up a touchdown early, can't really run the ball as effectively as they want to, those old demons can start to come back at, you know, it's modern day, like, what are we doing? And then those conversations start happening. And then on the modern day side, if they give up an early turnover and Poly scores easily, and then they can hardly ever get the ball back because Poly's just running it down their throats, you know, the slow start will really let a team get their footing and have their confidence in a foreign environment.
So many playmakers in this game. Obviously, you can get on GazetteSports.com and read about some of them from Poly, namely hashtag Team Juju. But the one for modern day that you got to look out for is number 18, Thomas Duarte. If you've watched any high school football this year, you've seen him play. Listed at a generous 6'3", 225. He's got 50 catches for 920 yards. That's an 18-yard average with 15 touchdowns. Most impressive, he's got 10 touchdowns in 12 games, or at least one touchdown in 10 of the 12 games this year. Excuse me. He's not going to burn anybody with his speed, but he uses his body very well, much like a basketball player, and he's got great hands. So he's going to be the big target that Forrest is going to be looking for, either from the pocket or on the move. And then obviously in the backfield, they have a stable full of running backs. Keep an eye on senior captain number 25, J.C. Genova. Genova, also middle linebacker, just a throwback-style Monarch football player who leads on both sides of the ball.
If you're looking for late breaking news, a conversation with your 3 favorite sports writers, or score updates, follow at Gazette Sports on Twitter and at Gazette's Updates, where we give you everything that you want to know instantly about sports in the LBC.
So no matter what happens Saturday night, 7:30 Angel Stadium, between the green and the red, this is not the end of high school football in 2012.
Boo.
We do have the State Bowls coming up. No matter how you feel about the State Bowls, they are always the highest quality of high school football.
I strongly disagree with that, actually.
You didn't let me finish my joke.
Okay, sorry.
It's all right. That's all right. Go ahead. Mike,
no,
is yours.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry, JJ.
Mike,
forgive
is yours.
Me.
Not mine. It's yours.
Look, I think we've made our opinions known on this. So is the Southern Section. When they voted to put in these regional bowl games, every section except the Southern Section voted for them in the state. The reason being, We don't play D7 Northern California football in the Southern Section Pac-5 division. Okay? You're playing three division linebackers on one team in a game. You can't do that for 16 games a year on a 17, 16, 15-year-old body.
Well, and two teams are going to play 16 games.
Yes.
Because there is a regional bowl game, so two Southern California teams will play next week, and then the week after, they will play a Northern California team.
Because I already didn't like the state championship games, but I understood the philosophy behind them.
Right.
My biggest thing is these teams are playing one or possibly two games before the school year even starts.
Yes, because they had to move everything a week back to accommodate this, because otherwise they'd be playing on Christmas. Right. So anyway, I'm sorry, we're getting off on a tangent. It needs to be discussed, though, because it's weighing on a lot of people's minds. I guarantee you right now, Bruce Rawlinson and Raul Lara would both love the opportunity to continue playing, but neither of them want their guys to play another three games from this date. It's just, it's an insane thing to ask people who play real football.
This state championship stuff is so weird. I mean, you watch these soccer teams.
Ka-ching.
You watch these soccer teams Ka-ching. Charge through the CIF championship. They're all about that ring. And then state comes around and they're just like, all right.
Because they already won a ship. And it's a better championship than the state championship.
I went to a state playoff game at Crenshaw High School, Pauley v. Crenshaw. What an amazing experience, right? Boys basketball, excuse me. What an amazing experience, right? This is going to be awesome. I get there, there's literally people in the stands reading the newspaper during that game.
Because it wasn't
even our newspaper.
Well, because here's the thing. And occasionally, you know, for Sacramento Grant, who got to prove in 2008, they got to come down and beat Pauley and say, hey, look, we're not rated as highly as we should be. It's great for teams like that. When you come from unquestionably the best bracket in the state, which is always going to be Southern Section Division One,
and certainly top of the list nationally.
Right. It's never gonna be fair to you. So the Pauley girls volleyball team beats Redondo Union 4 sets in the CIF championship. You're the Division One championship in Southern California. Okay. You're the best team in the nation. What happens then? They go up, and I'll tell you right now, you play that game that they played in the state championship against Pauley or Redondo Union 100 times. That's the only one time that team wins. It's just the only thing that can happen for the schools we cover is that they can be upset in a state championship.
Right. And it's brutal on these kids. It might lead to kind of some injuries, and I know that was the concern of the Southern Section because...
Servite didn't want to play in it because they're like, look, I can't have my guys play another game. We're coming out of here hanging by a thread. Gary Knight at Modern Day's boy basketball team, he said, look, I'm an old school guy, man. The CIF championship, that's our championship. State, yeah, I guess we got to do it.
It's kind of cool, but Southern California, it's a little bit of the ego, I think.
Yes.
Southern California just knows they're better than Northern California.
It's also justified, though.
Listen, don't just skip over the fact that these kids are playing 16 games either because of the incredible...
That's how many games Mercedes Lewis will play this year for the Jacksonville Jaguars.
And it's a big deal that they play 16. They're, like, fighting the fact that they want to make it an 18-game schedule.
Right.
That's only two more than high school.
Yeah.
High school,
but it's the same number.
Skip a level.
Right now, it's the same number. It's just totally crazy. But the question isn't should these games be played. The question that we've gotten all week long, the question that Raul Lara refused to answer to his team because he said, "Look, you got to go win on Saturday,"
which is true.
And I'm sure Bruce Rawlinson's having the same conversation with his team. Does Pauley, with 3 losses, have a shot at this regional bowl game? Because what Pauley fans remember is 2007, they lost to Birmingham, and because of that, even though they win the CIF Pac-5 championship, they did not get a chance at the state game.
Now was there there was no open division back then.
No. So what's changed now?
There was no open division, there was no first bowl game before this one.
Right, so what's changed now, JJ's exactly right. They've added an open game, which is another team from Southern California, and they've added the regional bowl game, which is another 2 teams at each level. So there's now a Division 1, 2, 3, and 4 game. Pauley obviously would only be eligible for the open of Division 1. They do not have a shot at the open game, from what we think. I think that would be a travesty, almost, if Vista Murrieta and Narbonne somehow were not to end up in that open game.
Yeah, those are the expected winners.
Or even Corona Centennial if they upset Vista Murrieta, or even Crenshaw if they upset Narbonne.
Right, those are the expected winners in the LA section and the Inland Division of the Southern section. And those teams, great records, great squads. So Narbonne and Crenshaw, the winner of that game,
right.
And Vista Murrieta, Corona Centennial, winner of that game, expected to go into the open, but Division 1 is right there, and
right.
I think the Pac-5 winner slots in perfectly.
Because here's the thing. The only way that this could get messed up is if one of the teams going to the open is from Division 2, 3, or 4, and we do not see a way that that would happen. So there's five.
Because of overall record, we should also.
Well,
say.
Because of where they're ranked in the state too. But overall record, there are teams that have less losses, but they are not as good.
Right. Okay.
So,
but should that happen?
This would all be for naught.
The Pac-5 team, I think, still would be in the Division One game, and the teams that would get bumped down again lower would probably be Central Section or San Diego Section, which
they just
wouldn't get in.
But so eventually what happens is, so Central Section, LA Section, San Diego Section, and Division 1 and 2 from the Southern Section. This is how good the Southern Section is. The Division 2 team plays in the Division 1 game.
Right, exactly. Okay. Yeah.
So those five teams are, those five champions would be eligible for the regional bowl game. Now, we just said two of those teams are going to be in the open. So two of the three champions from the Central Section, the Pac-5, and the San Diego Section will be in the regional state bowl game for Division One.
Mm-hmm.
I just do not see, based on state rankings, based on quality, how the Central Section and the San Diego Section go into that game and not the Pac-5 winner. Almost impossible to even imagine.
Well, and let's keep in mind, Santa Margarita, they were in Division One last year when they won their state championship. So it is a full-on state championship. There is no, oh, well, we weren't open. I mean, this is D1. Yeah. This is legit football. And certainly the Pac-5 winner, you know, that team will have at least two losses. There is nothing to be ashamed about winning the Pac-5 and then not getting an open division berth. I mean, come on. But at the same time, those other schools, Narbonne, Vista Marietta, have earned those spots.
But if you notice, Cal High Sports actually moved Poly up 8 spots this week in their rankings because they're anticipating, gee, if Poly wins this game, we can't move them up 20 spots in the rankings to guarantee they'll be in one of these games. Mm-hmm. So they move them up 10, and then they'll move them up more if they beat Mater Dei.
So we're essentially almost guaranteeing that whoever wins this Pac-5 championship game on Saturday will be in the Division One regional bowl game. Don't hold us to it.
We think against the San Diego Section team, but it could be the Central Section team.
Don't hold us to it, but that is what we are predicting. But either way, it looks like the Jackrabbits or Monarchs will be playing more games after this Saturday. Although, let's be honest, it really lies in that one game. Angel Stadium is where this season is almost going to be defined. JJ, let them know when those regional games will be.
They are next week. You don't have to wait very long. The NorCal and the SoCal championships.
Well, you wouldn't
want to
bye week during your NFL schedule.
Of course not. That'd be silly. December 7th and December 8th, that's next Friday and next Saturday. And then the state championship bowl games the weekend to end all weekends of high school football there at HDC, the Home Depot Center in Carson, California. We don't have to drive very far. December 14th and 15th, that's also a Friday and a Saturday. So back-to-back weekends, state bowl games here in California.
We've got the football fever, but we know that there are other sports going on, and we're still covering those sports. So if you want all the other stories outside of just this game, be sure to sign up for our e-newsletter on the right side of the page. Type in your email, and you will get every new story sent directly to your email inbox. It's just like a newspaper, digitally, so you can keep up with all of your favorite sports.
Can we just play right now?
I'm just
ready to play right now.
Chip week.
And I don't even play. I'm ready to strap it up, and I've totally exhausted my eligibility.
I tell you what, I'm really turned up. I mean, we've been at Poly practice a lot this week, just kind of getting a sense for the game. And, man, the juices are completely flowing for you boys.
And it's the same way over at Mater Dei, obviously. Everyone is prepared to go down with this ship week. It's just big time, big boy football. What else do you want? The Division One championship, Poly and Mater Dei?
You literally couldn't ask for anything else. You couldn't ask for more Long Beach sports coverage at Gazette Sports either. And we could not do that without our sponsors.
Obviously, Naples Rib Company and the Naples Island Car Wash, both the title sponsors. Go check out their great coupons on the website. McCarty Jewelry here for you since 1932. But that's not all.
Los Alamitos Cardiovascular and Performance Vein Institute. Check out the Friedman's Appliances Sleep Center. And go ahead and count those sheep up. And then State Farm agent Kerr Jones, he wants to help you save. Ladies and gentlemen, football upon us. We couldn't have dreamed of something much better than this. It was a lowly start to the season for Long Beach and more league teams, but what a charge the Jackrabbits have put on this season, and it's a dream matchup. I just hope Angel Stadium gets filled up. Let's set some sort of record, please. Southern California, talking to you.
there's a lot going on also with other sports in Long Beach, and you can get all of that coverage at GazetteSports.com. Obviously, stuff at Long Beach State as well as the other high schools. But this weekend will be dedicated to this football game, and you will get all of the coverage at GazetteSports.com. For Mike, for Tyler, for JJ,
you're JJ,
for everybody at the Gazette newspapers, and for everybody in Long Beach who has been following high school football on our website and in our newspaper, thank you. This has been a heck of a year in 2012. Maybe a little underappreciated at times, maybe a little underestimated at times, but at the end of the day, guess who's playing for a ring? We'll see you guys in the stands this weekend. Take care.